Hello. So every one of you are going to have a class tonight about oxymorons, okay? So we're going to, before I start, let me ask first, how is everyone doing? Are you doing fun? Are you doing okay, guys? Because we're going to have a very important session class. So, I hope that everyone is doing okay in this season, because it's going to be the end of the year for every one of us, for everybody. And I hope that everyone is doing awesome. Okay, so we have here. Okay, so by the way, let me introduce myself. My name is Teacher Aris, and I have been teaching English for quite some time now. Okay, so here we have our lesson, okay, about today's live lesson. Okay, so here at Sherry IBS, we have this, we have this one-on-one lesson. Okay, so if you're interested in getting a very good class with awesome teachers such as myself, thank you very much. You could go to our course consultants, and they will help you out to get more classes with us, and hopefully we could start our lesson and learning English together in our journey. Okay, so here we have one-on-one lessons, and if you get someone to join our lessons, you will get lessons. You will win an English lessons with the teachers. Okay, and we can teach you. So what we do is we specialize in business English teaching. Okay, so if you need assistance in your learning business English, we can help you with that. Because most of the teachers here, actually not most, all of the teachers here, okay, we have experience in teaching English business, in a business sense of the matter. And we do open lessons every week and help you improve in your speaking, listening, English skills. And it's not that only. We help you with your grammar, your vocabulary, in business English. Okay, so you can please follow us in our link in our page, I believe. Here you can see. Okay, so we have a topic for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so how to have serious fun with oxymorons. Okay, so warming up questions. Have you come across any oxymorons in English before? Any one of you? None? I do think so. Okay, so how to have serious fun with oxymorons. Oxymoron, a term that combines two contradictory terms. So it's like combining two words with different meanings. Okay, different meanings. So here we have an example. Plastic and glass. Plastic glasses. So as you can see, plastic. It's a word that describes a material that is made from plastic, and glasses is made from glass. So it's like combining two words just to describe one thing, or just to identify a thing. Okay, so it is a plastic glass. So it's contradictory. It means it doesn't have the same meaning. Okay, so how about this one? Deliberate mistake. So when you say deliberate, it means you intended to do it. It's deliberate. It means you do it intentionally. And mistake is, everybody knows what mistake means. Mistake is, it was an error. It was wrong. I did not intentionally do that. Okay, so that is a mistake. Okay. And next one is here. Okay, so we have a few vocabulary words to practice. Okay, so let's learn some new words first. Contradict. So contradict means to be in conflict or disagreement with. So when you say, I think that's a contradiction. Okay, so we have an example here. These two sentences seems to contradict each other. Or you could say, there are two things that contradict this statement. That's an example. Okay? So that is a verb. Contradict means it's an action word, a verb. Okay? So, second one is irony. Okay? Irony. The use of words that are the opposite of what one means, often for humor or emphasis. So we're going to use the word irony. It's to hammer home a point. So for example, you have to say something, you know, the irony of it. It means, you could say, I will give you an example. You're always so helpful, Mark, she replied with heavy irony. Means it's for fun, it's for humor, for laughter. And emphasis is you have to make it understood. So you can use that. So next one is confusion. So when you read it again, note the pronunciation, confusion. The state of understanding something. The state of not understanding something, I'm sorry. He started me in total confusion. Or I could say, that's an example. He stared at me in total confusion. It could suggest that the person is disoriented, he's confused. That's why when he was stared at, he got confused. And there was a lot of confusion. Okay, so the word confusion is a noun. Okay, it's a noun. Okay, other examples of confusion, you could say, the police during the rallies and the riots were experiencing confusion because they didn't know how to identify the civilians, the people that are involved in the rallies. And the people who were not, that were in the rallies, and the other people that were not. Okay, so that's an example. So next word is mess. Okay, so mess. Mess, a situation that is unorganized and full of problems. So, for example, how does the company plan to get out of this financial mess? It means, in the sentence, it says, how do you think the company would be able to leave out of that, you know, messy situation, like a lot of problems, like stressful situations where your money is not on point, the money is not good, you know, it's messy, you haven't wrote down the problems, and it's really disorganized. Simple word, it's just a fancy word for disorganized. Okay, messy. Okay, so here we have the very common term sweet. Okay, so sweet means very endearing or endearing. It was so sweet of you to come by yesterday. So you could say, you could use that term for somebody that's really important. When she does that to me, I think of it as a sweet gesture. You could say, when she calls me every now and then, I feel that I'm so happy, and I think of it as really a sweet thing, you know. It is really, it's close to my heart, and it's so sweet. Okay, for example, some you're a beautiful woman, right? And somebody gave you a flower, a bouquet of flowers. And you'd be like, oh, that's sweet, like that. Okay, so that's that. So example, that's good. Okay, so let's learn some new words first. Yeah, so the next one is sorrow. Sorrow, a feeling of being very sad. Example, She couldn't hide her sorrow as they said goodbye. It means, in the sentence, she can't hide her sadness because it was really sorrowful. It is, by the way, the word is a noun, okay? So it means it identifies a feeling, okay? It's a noun. It's sorrowful. Oh my God, I'm so filled with sorrow. My heart is so filled with so much sorrow because me and my girlfriend, we just broke up. So that's an example. Okay. I don't know if it's really sorrowful, but some people, you know, they feel sad because when they break up, usually people feel bad and it's, you know, it's a sad situation. Okay. So next one, so let's start to discuss our topic today. An oxymoron brings together words that may have contradicting meanings, but together make sense in the right context. Okay, so for example, we have, right, plastic glasses. When you see a plastic cup, okay, it's a plastic glasses, okay, or the word, awfully good. What does awfully good mean? Awfully good means, that phrase means, it's so good. Awful means bad, right? Good means good. But when you combine them together to make the right context, it's going to be, oh my God, it's so good. It's awfully good. Like, it's so guilt. It's, you're filled with guilt and emotion. And it's kind of, you know, guilty like that. So it's awfully good. Okay. So take the phrase awfully good as an example. Awful alone is a negative, and while good is positive, but together it means very, very good. Okay. So example, you're eating mooncake in a festival and you're like, oh my God, this is so good. It's awfully good. I thought it would taste so bad, but I was really surprised, man. It was so good. Awfully good. Okay, you guys get me? Okay, so the word oxymoron itself is an oxymoron. Okay, it comes from the Greek word oxys, meaning sharp. And moros means dull or stupid, okay? So it's combining two words that are totally different in meaning just to make one context, or just to clearly state what you meant, okay? So oxymoron means, as it says here, sharp, and moron, dull. Okay, oxymoron. Get it? Okay. So some oxymorons are created by accident because words have more than one meaning. Like awfully can mean badly, but it can also mean very. As I've said earlier, my example earlier was, oh my God, it's awfully good. It means it's very, 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 very good. Okay, awfully good. It's like totally delicious. It's really, really good. Yeah, awfully good. Some oxymorons are created by accidents. Okay, I've read that already. Don't have to read it again. Okay, so similarly, seriously, can also mean very. Okay. So we can even say the word that, so we can even say that a joke is seriously funny, which sounds an awful lot like an oxymoron. So you could say, oh my God, it's seriously funny. Okay, it could mean another word for awfully, seriously, the same context, very, very, very. Okay, like very, very funny. I thought it was seriously funny. Hey man, have you seen the movie of, you know, what do you call that? Chris Evans and Kevin Hart? I thought the movie was seriously funny. No, it was really, really that good. When used on purpose, oxymorons are often used for humor and irony. It was seriously funny. Like, okay. So, let's start to discuss our topic today. For example, in their 1885 comedy opera, The Mikado, Gilbert and Sullivan describe a bad situation as a nice mess the characters have gotten into. In the early 20th century, well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into, even became a common phrase for the seriously popular comedy Team Laurel and Hardy. So in the comedy, there was like, in as early as 1885, the word nice and mess are oxymorons that are combined together to describe something that is, you know, very nice mess. Okay. So Shakespeare also had an awful love of oxymorons, often using them to show confusions, strangeness, or mixed emotion. So a little history class about it. So Shakespeare is a English writer. Okay, so he was one of the greatest minds of literature. He wrote in the time of Elizabeth I, the Queen of England, and she was a queen, and one of her beloved writers were Shakespeare. Okay, so Shakespeare in his work, The Hamlet, it has a lot of oxymorons in the book. So you gotta read it, guys. If you have time, I suggest that, you know, you could read it with us, okay? In our classes here at Cherry IBS, we'd be glad to assist you, you know, and in your business learning English. Okay, so next is, let's start. No. For example, in Romeo and Juliet, Romeo says things like loving hate, cold fire, and sick health to show his love for Rosalind, which should make him happy, actually makes him feel terrible. So it's loving hate, cold fire, sick health. And of course, Juliet later tells Romeo, parting is such a sweet sorrow. It's such sweet sorrow. So it has two meanings most of the time. Sweet sorrow. It means the moment is sweet, but it's sorrowful. So it's kind of a mixed emotion feeling that is being described and being explained by an oxymoron. Okay, guys? So, the word bittersweet, which is older than Shakespeare, can describe food that tastes bitter and sweet, like dark chocolate. Have you guys had dark chocolate? Dark chocolate is kind of bitter, but sweet at the same time. So when you taste it, it's really delicious. You can buy it, you know, in certain stores. It's like a mixture of, you know, very sweet and not totally sweet, kind of sweet and kind of bitter. It's like, you know, in between the mixture. It's not that bad. Okay, so, but when used for talking about how something feels, it describes how it could be both sad and happy at the same time. Like when Romeo and Juliet part after meeting on her balcony. So it describes a certain happening or event when Romeo and Juliet met on her balcony. So the moment was kind of bittersweet. So it means that sweet because he met, you know, one of, you know, the woman that he really loved so much, his true love. Bitter because probably it was short, it was brief, it wasn't that long enough, so he didn't spend so much time with her. So it was like, oh, like that, I saw her, and then after a few conversations, a couple of minutes, then they parted ways. So it's kind of bittersweet. Okay, guys? So here are some examples for us to use. Silent scream, okay? It's like you wanted to shout or yell something, but you couldn't. Ah! like that. So in your mind, you're silent screaming. Okay. So old news. Old news is like the news of yesterday, but it's still news. Because old meaning it's really old, but news is kind of current. So it's momentarily happening. Okay, about bittersweet as a chocolate bar, you could say, or on a feeling, it describes a feeling, an emotion. Mostly oxymorons are associated with feelings to describe what you feel. Okay, guys, so you have to know that. Okay, so lead balloon. Okay, I'm sorry, a lead balloon, I'm sorry. Lead balloon, civil war. Lead balloon is, you know, lead is heavy, right? And balloon is so light. So it describes kind of something light and something hard or heavy. Okay, how about civil war? Civil war is civilians, civil war, like two societies in a society that is clashing together. A common population that is at war with each other. So I will give you an example. During, you know, Rome's time in Rome, back when in records shows that Julius Caesar and what's his name? Pompey the Great and Rome, Brutus was the senator that wanted to restore the republican government of Rome because it was being an autocratic dictatorship state. So when Rome had a civil war because two opposing great generals were at war with each other, that was Julius Caesar, who was kind of autocratic dictator for life, and Brutus and the Republicans, Pompey the Great, they clashed in several battles, and the empire within the empire, because they wanted to assert dominance over the other, and to be the undisputed leader of Rome, not king, because Rome didn't have a king. They had a king, and they overthrew that. You know. Like a couple of thousand years before they a hundred of years after they became a republic. So he wanted just to be the sole ruler, Caesar, and Pompey or Gnaeus Pompeius, that's his name. He wanted to lead the country and remove Caesar from his dictatorship and governorship, and it was a threat to his power. So they clashed and fought, and unfortunately for Gnaeus Pompeius, okay, Pompey the Great, he lost the battle at Pharsalus. That's why he got killed in Egypt. His head was delivered to Caesar, according to legend. And as soon as Caesar opens the basket that contains his head, you know, his, you know, old friend's head, because they used to be friends so much, he wailed and he cried like a baby because he saw his friend's head in the basket. Containing, I know, Gnaeus Pompeius or Pompey the Great's head, and he cried so much. So that is a civil war. Okay, so here is next example: plastic silverware. Plastic silverware is, you know, you can buy that cheap plastic spoon and fork, and that you can see during parties. You can buy it in a grocery store and whatever, you know, in a shop that sells plastic. So it's for. It's like plastic fork, you know, spork, plastic spoon. That's how you formally call them. Call it, I'm sorry. Plastic silverware. And next one is jumbo shrimp. Jumbo shrimp, you can see that usually, you know, in markets, you know, big prawns. Shrimps are supposed to be small, but here it describes jumbo shrimp, so it's kind of big, you know, like that-ish. Couple of ounces. Heavy and quite a bit just bigger. Okay, so this one is a paper towel. So paper towel, paper then towel. Towel is supposed to be made by cloth, made of cloth. I'm sorry, paper is, you know, paper, and it's from trees. You know, we use that every day in our, you know, materials and our activities. It's a paper towel. Working vacation is a common used term, so it means it's a work vacation. You can have a vacation. Probably some other people do is, what other people do is they have work during vacation, or a lot of things, what they do. Negative income describes something, losses, you know, instead of earning a profit, you're just losing money and losing money and losing money. So that's that. It's horrible. It's bad. I know. Okay, so here are some examples for you. This is very tricky. Yeah, I will help you out, guys. Clearly misunderstood. So you could say clearly means something that is clear. It's so clear as day. You can see it, you know. Misunderstood is you didn't understand it. So I would use it in an example. Hey, dude, I think you clearly did not understand what I just said. You clearly misunderstood what I said. It means when I said it, you did not understand it so much. It clearly misunderstood. Okay, so that's that. Okay, same difference. You'd say it's just the same difference, man. Like, what's new? That's what it means. Simple as that. Same difference. You could say, what can I expect? The team is really bad. You know, the basketball team here in our country is not that good. So that's the same difference. It happens all the time. It's what's new. It's not going to change. It's always the same. And what difference would it make? You know, the same difference. Okay. Only choice. Okay. So it means you have a lot of choices, but you get to one. But you get to choose only one. Okay. You're forced to choose only one because that's the only option you have. Okay. So next one is pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. So let's use that in an example. So you could better understand, guys. I think, man, that's pretty ugly. It means pretty means beautiful, right? But always know that oxymorons always describe intensity or excessive description of feelings or exaggerated degrees of things. So when you say that's pretty ugly, it means it's very, very ugly. You could say, hey, I think that dress is pretty ugly. You know, it doesn't fit you. You would look beautiful in another dress that you would try to buy. Probably a black dress would be good, but you know, that white dress kind of doesn't fit you. It's pretty ugly. Okay. Seriously funny. This is easy. Seriously funny is like very, very easy because we've had this earlier. So it's very, very funny. I thought that comedian in that show was seriously funny. Okay. Next one is found missing. Again, oxymoron. It was found missing. Okay? Found means you saw it, you were able to search for it, and missing is, you know, missing. You were able to, I found what's missing, or found missing. It was found missing. You could say, this lighter, I found missing there, but, you know, it's just there. I was kind of worried. Exact estimate. So exact means, you know, it's exact description, the exact, the right amount. Exact means the right amount. Exact, like $38, that's exact. Okay, estimate means you're not sure. You're trying to make off an exact amount in your head, but it's not exact, you know, it's roughly, so it is an exact estimate. Original copies. Okay, so I'll explain this. Say that you have a paper, you know, an original document, but you have to make copies of it. Like the original copy that you have received from, let's say, the bank, and the manager signed that. So you have to make copies of it. So what you're going to do is you're going to the photocopier machine, then photocopy it in colored. Then probably you could go back to the bank and have the document signed. Those are original copies as well. Or that's another use of the phrase itself. Or you could say, this is my original copy. This is my only one original copy. Okay? So sometimes in English, there are confusing terms, you know, oxymorons and stuff, but it's really easy to understand. Let's say you have the document of rent, let's say lease document. So you could say that, oh, this is just my original copy, or I can make you original copies as well. Would you want that? Like that. Okay, so how about this one? Act naturally. So act means it's fake. You know, acting is just assuming other roles. It's just another role in this acting, whatever. I have to act on this. And naturally means natural. I'm acting natural. Acting natural, or act naturally. Okay, so that's that. Next one is small crowd. It's a small crowd. Because crowds always means a group of people, a lot of people. But here, there's that detail that means it's a small crowd. It were just like, I don't know, 30 people. Because a crowd usually means like a lot of collection of people. I don't know, like 300 people. But here it clearly says that it's just, you know, a small crowd. Okay, so next one is deafening silence. Deafening means you're kind of deaf, you know, like, but when somebody says that to you, I don't want this type of environment because the deafening silence haunts me. You could say, there's no people around and the silence that I usually wanted to hear before, you know, it's here. And it's so much, and it's deafening my ears. So that could illustrate or point out an expression that you're being sad, so it's deafening silence. Or for example, you asked me something, right? It'd be like, what do you think, Coach Harris? Do you think the how did it go? And I didn't respond. I was like, that's deafening silence because you were kind of counting on that I would have answered you. I answered the question, but I did not. So it's deafening. So there's a titty bitty emotion that displays fear. So it's deafening. It's deafening silence like that. It wasn't responding to anything at all. It means it's kind of scary like that. Okay, so passive aggressive, it's normally associated to behavior that is for weirdos, for weird people, you know, like and mostly women, not all the time, not all women are like that, but some women are, you know, passive aggressive. It could be like, yesterday she was really cool, but now she was like really mad. I don't know. It's passive aggressive behavior. She was like, yesterday she was like cool and you were texting with her and suddenly she was not responding. Then when she answered back, she was like so mad at you and you're like, well, what did I do? Like that. So that's passive aggressive. Okay. Normally it's associated with a pattern of behavior that is totally not normal, you know, like you used to do it like with that person and now she was not cool with it, but yesterday she was like very, very cool and that's weird, you know. Passive aggressive, and men do that all too, all the time as well, you know. Us too, we do that, you know. Men are not so perfect as well. You know, passive aggressive means sometimes men, what they do is, you know, like, chill with their buddies. Then when somebody, you know, pisses them off means, you know, insults them. They're like, what do you do? And then smack the other guy. That's passive aggressive behavior. So normally it's associated with psychological patterns of behavior. Okay, so next one is a new classic. So you could say, oh, he's a classic artist, but I think he made tunes. You know, Justin Bieber, they consider him as, you know, he's a classical singer, but I don't think highly of him personally. I'm sorry. But anyway, you could use that in a context where you're trying to describe his new track, his new music. Oh, I think Justin Bieber released his, you know, new classic. The song is titled Bums in My Hand, for example. You could say that. Bums in My Hand. You know, what's the title again? It's Bums in My Hand. You know, dude, you know, you heard it. It's his new classic. Okay. So here again, with the awfully nice means very, very nice. You know, just for you guys not to get confused. And next one is inside out. Inside out. So what does that mean? I think, man, when he, you know, entered the house, he just went inside and out. Inside out. Or you could say that's another use for that. Or you could use that in a very subtle way by describing something that is, for example, we're police officers, right? And we're supposed to investigate the house that was robbed inside out. Okay? It means, let's say inside out. Oh, look at the place, man. There's no things left here inside out. No, inside, literally. Okay, guys, remember this. Oxymorons could be literal sometimes, like literally meaning inside of the house and outside of the house is no things left. Nothing's left like that. Nothing. Like it's cleared out. So inside out. Okay? So half full, cup is half full. Okay? Like, for example, this is a cup. And this is like the water level. This is in the middle. So what do you think? It's half full. It's supposed to be full, but it's like half full. You understand my point? It's like not being filled so much. It's half full. Okay, so last one is full empty. Full empty. it's normally used when you're trying to describe something that is... you could see, hey, dude, look at my battery. It's full empty. It means the battery of your phone is, that is like the battery something indicator, right? And when you see it's not fully charged, so it's half empty. It's fully empty. It's drained out. No battery is left. Okay? So that's that, full empty. And, okay, so we have one last question here. Okay. So have you come across any English rhetorical devices you found confusing? So have you experienced any, for example, me, if I was like, you know, in the US, and, you know, because I'm not big on tech, you know. For example, there was this guy that, you know, a friend of mine was using a Tesla. You know what a Tesla is? Tesla is like an electrical car. I would find that, you know, confusing, you know, that. So it's the actual usage of the word confusing. So here in this question, what the question is asking is, have you found anything of the past lesson very confusing, like oxymorons. Have you guys found that it was very confusing to all of you or not? Okay, so it's really easy to learn English. As I've said, you just have to be consistent and do the work and practice all the time. Okay, guys? So if you have any questions, you could call our course consultants, and they're good people. They will help you out and start our classes, you know, start classes with us. And we wish you to, we wish that, you know, we could see each other in the future, you and I, guys. We can have classes together. Okay, so here I will explain to you what kind of classes we would make. Okay, so what we do is we have our one-on-one lessons, you know, as you see. Here's our beautiful teacher and our beautiful student. They're studying about business. Here, as specified, we have selling techniques in English, business, and cross-cultural communication, business English intensive courses, like deep English stuff in business. And we have how to set up a business through the internet so you could start business as well. Some our teachers could help you with that. They could teach you that. And team building is like normally done with people that are handling groups of people. Okay, so for example, you're a manager of human resources or HR. So we could help you studying that as well. Health and safety at work, in the workplace. How to give effective presentations. Like, oh, I have this student, she's really good. You know, now she's studying how to effectively use better openings during presentations. So she really loves that class and she's really improving. So that's good. That's tremendous. Okay, so how to deal with difficult customers. We will help you teach that as well. And public speaking, you know, talking with people in public, like public speaking, like you do presentations. Most of the time it's about presentations and showing charts to very important people. And the next is speed reading and memory super training. So we have that as well. And usually our courses is like this, you know, we have one-on-one plus one-on-one situations with our teachers and students, one-on-one classes. So we have that amazing support as well. Guys, if you're interested, you can see that. Just refer to our course consultants and they will help you out, okay? So here, for more lessons, please reach our course consultant and they will help you out, okay? They will help you how to have lessons with us, and we will totally we're looking forward to having classes with you guys. Okay. And what is learning English? So what I'm trying to teach my students is very different. You know, my approach in teaching is different. It's not orthodox. Okay. So what I do is I want you to be able to communicate more effectively. You know, so that you could communicate and say whatever you wanted to say and write whatever you wanted to write and read effectively. So I will give you a brief idea of how I teach as a teacher. So what I do is I improve the skill to express themselves, because that is the key, because communication always boils down to the idea and the ability to express oneself. So how would you be able to answer my questions if you can't, you know, if you don't know the words in English and you don't know how to say it correctly, right? you know, appropriately, you know, that's a word. So what I do is I focus on the ability, improving on that of the student, and teaching him new words and encouraging him to learn more new words so that he could further explain himself in English. Okay, so that's that. That's one of the first step. And actually, guys, you can do it. It's all about the determination, and you have to persevere in learning it. You know, the language is there. For example, I will give you an example. You just really have to use your common sense. For example, I'm in China. I wanted to go to the bathroom. I'm in a pub or I'm in a bar with, you know, my good people friends, Chinese friends, you know, awesome buddies, you know, and I wanted to go to the bar and I'm like lost, you know, there's my table and I asked, you know, some guy, some waiter, hey, dude, where is the bathroom? And I don't know the word in Chinese, okay? So my first step in learning a language is learn the words first. Learn it, learn what it means, learn how to say it correctly, learn the practical implications of it, then you can use it, and you can learn the whole language. It doesn't matter if your accent is not that good, because some of my students, they're like, I really want to have your accent because your accent is really good. For me, I don't think my accent is really good. It just happens that that's my experience. And this is how I talk. So you want to learn this accent, you got to live there. That's the example. Okay, so if you want to sound like American or British, you have to go live in Britain or go to America and stay there for a couple of years. Then you could get to pick up the accent. For example, I was there in Hong Kong or in China. I would have learned the language easy, and how you say it, you know, your diction, and with respect to your culture. So that's that. Okay, so guys, learning English is easy, and we will help you to do that. We will facilitate your English learning correctly, and we will help you out in that journey. To improve your knowledge in learning the English language. Okay, so here at Cherry IBS, you can contact the course consultants now, guys. Anytime, we're here. We will never run out of time teaching our students. It's the best thing ever. It's really incredible. Okay, so we brush on that. We specialize in business English teaching. We do open lessons every week. Okay, you can have like, I don't know, two lessons. What if you really wanted to learn English, you can learn every day, then you can open classes every day, like, I don't know, for 25 minutes a day, you can have that. Doesn't matter. Okay, because the learning itself is it's a gradual process, you know. It doesn't happen overnight, like, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be really good at it. No, it's a process every day. So that the speed of learning and the progress depends on the student. If the student is going to follow up as well, like, of course, here when we're having our classes, you're good. But, you know, when you go out in the world and, you know, in your common environment, then you speak Chinese again and you're going to forget English. So it's all about practicing. That's why what we do here is we leave our students with homeworks as well. So after classes, you will be given a homework to work on so that you could study alone, and the teacher would check those homeworks that you have accomplished, and we're going to correct you and teach you the right way, right? Okay, so please follow us in our page or how, yeah, that's our social platform name, whatever. Okay, so here are our teachers and here are sample books. Okay, so thanks for watching, guys. I will see you next time in our recording session one-on-one. So don't forget about it's really fun to learn English and how to have serious fun with oxymorons. That was our lesson. I will see you next time. Awesome, guys. Bye.